It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a question for you. Is there a book you loved as a kid or teen that you went back and reread? How did it hold up? We'll get your answers coming up in just a bit. Now we're looking back at the biggest stories of the year from the state capitol. Republicans passed a $3 billion incentive package as part of a deal to bring technology manufacturer Foxconn to southeastern Wisconsin. And infighting among Republicans delayed passage of the state budget until well after the June deadline. Plus, a legal challenge to Wisconsin's electoral maps made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it could impact redistricting around the country. Laurel White is a WPR state capitol reporter. She joins us now to recap those stories and how they might play into next year's midterm elections. Laurel, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, a big year in Wisconsin state capitol news. Let's start with one of the biggest stories, the Foxconn technology plant coming to Mount Pleasant in southeastern Wisconsin. Governor Walker and state Republicans are treating this as a big win, maybe even an election campaign message. What are we hearing lately from Republicans when it comes to Foxconn?
Well, I've been doing my year-end wrap-up interviews around the Capitol lately. That's something we kind of do as the year winds down. And what I'm hearing from Republicans across the board is Foxconn is something that they're very excited about, something that they're definitely planning on campaigning on in 2018. And when I spoke with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in particular, he said, you know, we are going to talk about Foxconn. We're very excited about Foxconn. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but we will be talking about other economic development things. We're not just going to focus on that because we have a lot more to highlight in what we've done as a legislative body than just this incentive package and just bringing this one business to Wisconsin. So I think we're expecting Republicans to talk quite a bit about Foxconn, but not exclusively. And an interesting thing to note on that is that Governor Walker actually didn't even mention Foxconn in his re-election bid announcement back in November. So he kind of sent a signal there that he's not going to be running solely on Foxconn, certainly, because he didn't even mention it.
And Foxconn, the incentive package, $3 billion, it had some bumps in the road through the legislature. It wasn't a quick and easy job.
That's right. So it seems like years ago now, but it was actually July when all of this Foxconn business started. That's when there was that big White House event that announced the deal with the governor and President Trump. So over the course of the really 6 months between announcing the deal and when the final contract was approved, there were all sorts of conflicts between lawmakers, between the Economic Development Agency that was negotiating the contract, and the public. There were so many stakeholders in this deal. So there were things about transparency of the contract, things about how to hold Foxconn accountable. It was a big deal, obviously. A big deal in that it was a big incentive package, but a big deal in the sense that it was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-century thing, the biggest incentive package that a state has ever offered a foreign company. So a big deal on multiple levels.
And Democratic messaging, a few Democrats, especially in that region, had voted in favor of the incentive package. But in general, what has been the Democratic message on this?
Right. So in the state assembly, there were three Democrats that voted for the incentive package. That was Representative Corey Mason, who's actually left the legislature now. He's the mayor of Racine now. Peter Barca, who used to be the minority leader, who's from Kenosha, and Todd Onstad, also of Kenosha. So we saw Democrats who live in the district that Foxconn is going to be locating, breaking with the party ranks to support the incentive package. There was also in the Senate, Senator Robert Wirch, who's also from Kenosha, joined Republicans to support the plan. So we saw kind of a regional breakdown there in terms of people crossing party lines to support or oppose. But excluding those folks that broke with the ranks and voted with Republicans, the Democratic message on Foxconn up until today is that it's too risky of a deal for Wisconsin taxpayers. It's going to take too long to earn back the money that the state is paying to Foxconn. And, you know, they're also arguing that Foxconn isn't going to create the number of jobs that have been projected for the facility.
We're looking at some of the top Wisconsin stories of the year with Laurel White, WPR's state capitol reporter. The budget every 2 years is the big story. Some of the big news here, infighting among Republicans, Governor Walker and Assembly Republicans in particular, over issues like transportation and more. What were some of the key points of friction that led this to be delayed past the original deadline?
Well, the really big one, Rob, was transportation funding. From the very beginning of budget negotiations, we saw Assembly Republicans really splitting from Senate Republicans and the governor, calling for what they called a long-term solution for road funding in Wisconsin. They were very interested in having something like a gas tax increase or a vehicle registration fee increase to provide a new revenue source for roads. They argue that Wisconsin has been falling behind in terms of funding road projects and that they really needed kind of an infusion of new money to make sure that things would happen. And that's something that the governor continued to oppose throughout budget negotiations, something that Senate Republicans continued to oppose. And in the end, Assembly Republicans didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get that that gas tax increase or the vehicle registration fee increase. They were opposed to a certain level of borrowing as well, Assembly Republicans were. They were a little bit more successful in that regard. The final budget ended up including just about $400 million in borrowing, which is the lowest amount that the state has borrowed for roads in more than a decade. So they got their small amount of borrowing there, but really in the end, Assembly Republicans, particularly Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who is of course their kind of spokesman for the body, said that he wasn't too happy with how the budget ended up in terms of road funding.
And that is an issue, transportation, that we're going to be probably hearing people fight about in 2 years, right, for the next budget cycle.
Absolutely. I don't think this is an issue kind of like Foxconn that's going to go away anytime soon. It was really interesting because when the assembly voted to approve the budget, which was in September, Speaker Voss actually said, I went back and pulled up this quote. He said, you won't hear me say this again today, but the Democrats have a point when they were talking about road funding. He said that he takes responsibility, that the body wasn't able to successfully negotiate a way to improve the, quote, long-term sustainability of the system. So he's talking about roads there. And I can't remember who it was, but one of my fellow Capitol reporters tweeted earlier this week that he actually, Speaker Voss, brought up road funding in his year-end interview with them. So I think this is something that's definitely top of mind for him, and he's going to be bringing it up in the next budget if he's still around, which we're expecting him to be. So,
and I want to end with another to-be-continued story as of right now, a state legal case that became a national one going to the Supreme Court. It's called Gill versus Whitford, but it's a legal challenge to the state's electoral maps drawn by the Republican majority in the Assembly and Senate, now making it, as I said, to the U.S. Supreme Court. What is at issue here, Laurel?
Well, this is Wisconsin's legislative maps. This is something that Democrats challenged, I believe, in 2015. They filed the lawsuit saying that Wisconsin's maps amount to a partisan gerrymander. So they said that the maps make it so Democrats aren't fairly represented in the state of Wisconsin. And the case made its way through all the levels of, you know, legal, all the courts, basically, made it to the state, made it to the U.S. Supreme Court, rather, in October. They heard the arguments in early October, and we're expecting them to rule on this case, which would be the first case, if they find the Democrats' argument to be valid. It would be the first ruling that a partisan gerrymander exists in the United States. So that would be a really big deal. It would mean Wisconsin would need new legislative maps. It would have ramifications, of course, because it's the U.S. Supreme Court, across the entire country. So this is something that we're watching very, very closely. I think it's safe to say that it will be the biggest story of 2018.
And this, you mentioned this would be the first partisan gerrymandering case. There have been racial ones or ethnic ones before. We have this case where Democrats are challenging it. Mathematicians are coming up with standards to measure this. We're in kind of uncharted territory here.
We sure are, yeah. So the mathematical equation here is something that the the people arguing this case are calling the efficiency gap. And it essentially says that Democrats have, the way that the maps have been drawn is that Democrats are casting basically what they're calling wasted ballots, wasted votes. So the districts are being drawn so they're so safely Democratic where they're Democratic that people are casting ballots that don't matter because the Democratic candidate is winning by so much in that district. So this is something that Supreme Court justices have said they've been interested in looking into, kind of this like mathematical, quantifiable way to measure the partisan nature of a district. So a lot of Supreme Court watchers have been saying this might be kind of the golden ticket for getting a partisan gerrymandering case. Well, not only to the Supreme Court because it's already there, but getting that decision made for the first time in the Supreme Court that a partisan gerrymander exists. So we're waiting. My colleague, Sean Johnson, was there and heard the arguments, and it played out pretty much how folks expected it to, with liberal and conservative justices pretty much showing their hand. But the swing vote in this case, Anthony Kennedy, sitting right there in the middle and not showing exactly how he's going to vote on this. So people are watching Kennedy pretty darn closely.
We'll have a lot to talk about in 2018. Laurel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Laurel White is a WPR state capitol reporter. She was with us to recap the year in state capitol politics, including Foxconn, road funding, and gerrymandering. Coming up next hour, we'll take a look at the biggest state news stories of the year outside of the capitol with USA Today Network Wisconsin editor Robert Mentzer. Right now, we want to know if you have any books from the past that you have reread and whether they were as good as ever or they let you down. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Maybe you were a fan of a book or series as a young adult, but looking back, maybe it was overrated, or maybe you didn't think much of a book when you first read it but see more value in it years later. You can share your thoughts on rereading books now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tell us if there's a book that you changed your opinion on after rereading it, or maybe you're scared to go back and reread it because it won't be the same. Producer Jay Carlisle Larson has some feelings about this. She's with us in the studio. Hey, JC.
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. Well, is there a book that this struck a chord with for you, a book that you went back and reread?
Oh, yeah. So we were talking in the office earlier when this article came up, and the first thing I thought of was the fact that I have, since I was a young adult, teenager, tween, I have reread Harry Potter, the whole Harry Potter
you
series.
You and probably lots of people.
Yeah, I feel very, I'm feeling good company on that one. I know that I'm not alone. I know that I'm not the only adult that has read it. But yeah, they were really special to me as a young person. And I read them. I think the last of the books came out when I was still in college. So this pretty much took
a big span for you.
A big span of my early life. But yeah, so I have reread them now as someone in their 30s. And yeah, I read them a different way.
And I've got some like that too, where, you know, I read a lot of fantasy and science fiction and still do. But some cherished ones as a kid. My dad actually just texted, hey, the Xanth books by Piers Zanthi. Were those good? And I had to think, you know, I loved them as a tween myself. Would I go back and read them now as a grown-up? I don't know. I don't know if it would have that same magic as it did when I was a kid.
Yeah, there are definitely books that I don't think that I would circle back to now that I'm this age, but that held a lot of weight for me as a kid, but not, I guess, the way the Harry Potter books have. So
it's we'll talk more about Harry Potter, I think. Let's go to one of our callers now at 800-642-1234. Debbie is with us from New Berlin. Debbie, hi.
Hi.
What's your book that you reread?
I have read Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch 4 times now. And I've read it twice in print form, and then I've listened to it twice in audiobook form, and it's just really probably the hands down best book I've ever read. It's just such a fantastic story. I'll listen to it again. I'll probably read it again.
What is it that rewards rereading or listening?
I don't know. I think it's just it's I really love books that are an epic journey of somebody's life from beginning until end. And it's one of those types of journeys that spans, you know, a child followed up to, you know, I would say 30 years old or so, following this child through a whole bunch of things that he goes through as he grows up. And there's action, there's, you know, drama, there's a little romance, there's just so many different things that make it into such a, you know, just one of the best novels I've ever read. It's just, there's mystery. It's really, really good. It's just such a well-done book. My favorite book ever.
Debbie, thank you so much for sharing that one.
Well, what I wanted to say about The Goldfinch in particular, since she said that she's read it four times, that is a lengthy, hefty book.
Okay.
I have a little bit of a confession, Debbie. Don't yell at me or anything, but I've read almost 98% of the book, never actually finished maybe the last 20 pages.
Wow.
But it is crazy.
Because you didn't want to be done.
I didn't want to be done. I should have followed the path that Debbie took and read it more than once.
Debbie, thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about rereading books, why you reread them, maybe revisiting ones from your youth, your childhood, or teen years, whether they hold up or not. You can join in, 800-642-1234. We asked around the studio.
Yep.
We heard from Patty Murray, one of our reporters.
Mm-hmm.
Patty loves Vanity Fair by William Makepeace Thackeray. She said the main character, Becky Sharp, a witty and crafty social climber, is a compelling character. And it's a fun book. If you haven't read it in a few years, you can come back and get jazzed all over again.
I mean, yeah, I do think that there's something about taking a step away from a beloved book and then kind of having the opportunity to rediscover it without having to, I guess, relearn it.
Uh-huh.
It probably doesn't make a lot of sense. You've already gone down the path, but you might learn things that you missed previously.
Well, with Harry Potter, you were saying earlier that, you know, it's not the same reading it now as then. It's,
yeah,
it's like comfort food, but in book form.
Yeah, it is kind of like comfort food. I do like reading it before bed because it's not boring. I know what to expect, but it at least gets me to
sleep. It's not
going
to anger you up before you
exactly.
go to sleep
I'm
or
not
get you
get,
too
I'm not
excited.
Get jazzed up the way you might rereading Vanity Fair.
All right, let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. There we go. Megan is with us in La Crosse. Megan, hi.
Hi.
What's your book?
The book that I like to reread, it's called Summer Sisters by Judy Blume. And I started reading it. The first time I read it, I was like a late teen. And then I reread it like every summer because like it follows this girl from her teenage years, middle school years up to her adulthood life. And it's a really fast read because all the chapters are really small and, you know, they bounce back and forth between different characters. But it's something to relate to at every different point in your life.
Interesting.
So,
and I remember Judy Blume, maybe her ones geared toward younger readers, reading them in, I'm going to say, junior high?
Yeah, I feel like that's what I read Judy Blume.
How does Summer Sisters compare to those?
We've all read that Judy Blume book. All of us girls probably read that Judy Blume book when we were younger. But this is one that's kind of more geared towards, like, a little bit more of an adulthood type thing. And, yeah, you can relate to it when you're younger, a little younger, and then reread it and relate to it again as you get older. And that's what I really like about it, because every time I reread it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember feeling those feelings and going through that. And it's just a really good book. And like I said, the chapters are really small, so it's easy to pick up and put down. It's a fast read, so...
Well, yeah, Megan, thank you so much for that call. We're, and you know, going back to these books over and over again, now we're going to move to Ashley in Paloma. Hi, Ashley. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. One of my favorites as a young high school student was Angela's Ashes. The book is written... And the story's told through the eyes of a child. And when I was younger, as 13, 14-year-old freshman in high school, it was easy to relate to the characters through the eyes of a child. You know, you see the child's point of view. Well, I reread it just a few months back, and the story has actually become more heartbreaking for me now that I'm a parent and really know what it takes to raise a family. And it's I still love the story, but it's... It's one I can only read every so often because
interesting.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, the parent's perspective is different. Ashley, thanks for that. We heard from Paul Breen, a finance director here. He's reread some books and hardly made it through books he used to love. And he said with Angela's Ashes in particular, he's afraid to reread novels that he loved in the past. He doesn't want to ruin it if he doesn't like it this time through.
Yeah, I wonder if there is just a little bit of things that you savor that you don't want to have too much of. You have the memory and you say, you know what? I'm going to leave it as it is.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Laura on the line in St. Paul. Laura, hi.
Hi there. I used to read a lot of science fiction as like 10, 12, 13, uh-huh. somewhere around in there. I loved Isaac Asimov's Foundation, Robert Heinlein's books. And then just a few years ago, I decided I would reread them, and I found I didn't like them at all. I found them very kind of misogynistic and simple and kind of violent. And I hate to say that because they were favorites of mine growing up, but I was very disappointed when I reread them.
I feel you, Laura. I have felt similar things with Isaac Asimov and the Foundation original trilogy. I loved that as a kid. Looking back, I mean, it's kind of thin. Some people are going to hate me for saying this. It's thin. The characters are well developed, and yeah, not a lot of great women's roles. There's a lot of good science fiction nowadays, though, that I think has upped the game on that. Are you finding good new stuff, Laura?
Oh, absolutely. The three-body problem with a Chinese author. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. It's C-I-X-I-N, Cixin Liu, I think his name is.
Okay, that's one I've got to check out. I haven't read that. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. A quick closing thought, JC?
I mean, with genres that you love, just maybe look for newer genres. There are a lot of people, especially in science fiction,
there's always good news
have
stuff.
A lot of really great things to say and write.
Well, thanks for your calls. Thanks, JC. That was Central Time producer J. Carlisle Larson. We've been talking about rereading books. You can still share your thoughts over on our Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're hearing the song Humble by Kendrick Lamar. It's appearing on a lot of top 10 lists among the best songs of 2017. As we near the end of the year, we wanted to take a listen back at some of the top songs of the year. We know that end-of-year lists are highly subjective, so your top songs of 2017 might be different than our next guest picks. So you can call in and share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What was your favorite song or album of the year? Justin Barney is with us now. He's music director for Radio Milwaukee. Justin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, before we get into your top 10 list, was there a general theme in music this year, something that struck you?
Something that came out this year, there wasn't necessarily like an... I think we, with like a certain political climate, I think that we were kind of feeling like, oh, this is going to be a year of like something very targeted. But it really, there wasn't something necessarily that was like, oh, everybody is doing this one thing.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, it was super diverse and there was all kinds of stuff coming out of everywhere. There wasn't one single theme that I tuned in on. It was all happening. And there was, 2017 was an incredible year for music. And it's my job to like be on top of all this.
Uh-huh.
And for a person whose job it is to keep on top of it, it was hard for me to stay on top of all the fantastic music that was coming out.
And that strikes me. It's not my job to just focus on music. And as I start to dig into these year end lists, I'm like, how in the world would somebody be on top of all these different genres of music?
Yes. Yeah. It's, and this year, especially all like every single kind of genre, everything, everybody was hitting. We had amazing releases from jazz musicians, from hip-hop, R&B, pop music had a huge year. Alternative, like every single genre just had amazing albums that came out.
Well, you sent us your top 10 list and some clips from them, and I want to get into that. Let's start with, I'm going to cheat.
All right.
I'm going to go right to number one. I don't know if we'll get all 10 in, so I'm going to go right to number one. Spoiler alert. Let's give a little listen to Big Thief, and the song is Mary.
What did you tell me, Mary, when you were there so sweet and very full of field and stars you carried all of time? Oh, in heavens, when you looked at me, your eyes were like machinery, your hands were making
a lot to choose from, and what you're saying is a good year of music, and this is the one that stood out at the top. Make the case here.
This was the one that hands down stuck out for me. Big Thief, they're a band that is from Brooklyn by way of Minneapolis. They released an album 2 years ago called Masterpiece. They're on Saddle Creek Records, which is out of Omaha, Nebraska. And they released this album, Capacity, that came out like in the middle of the year. And I had like listened to it a couple times, and I was like, this is good. And then I do this segment at Radio Milwaukee where I talk to musicians about what music they're listening to. And this was the one where I talked to 5 musicians this year, national artists touring around the world, uh-huh. that all said, I'm listening to Big Thief. You got to check this album out. And so something clicked, and I was like, all right, well, I have to give this album more of a shot. And I was listening to it, and every single time this song Mary came around, I was on the way up here and I was listening to it and got goosebumps. It's the song I listened to the most out of any song, and it gave me goosebumps because it starts off super quiet and it's got this piano in there, and then it just starts to build and build and build, and as soon as you hit this part, she's got this big long verse, and it just kind of ramps up and ramps up, and it becomes this kind of this march, and it's this rising song that gave me goosebumps the whole year. It was my number one song.
And this is something I notice with music sometimes, and I'm sure a lot of people have thought this before. Sometimes there's that song that just grabs you right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then 5 or 6 listens, you're done with it.
Right.
And then there's the one that just keeps sneaking up on you a little bit each time you listen to it.
And this was, it was the whole album, and it was really that song. And that's tough for, especially like right now in music, there is so much, like we were saying, there's so much music going on, and it's so easy to go on to the next song, go on to the next album, and just listen to things 1 or 2 times. And so to go back and to listen to things over and over and over again is can be a bit of a lost art, but uh-huh. is something that is really rewarding as well.
Well, unfortunately, we are going to move on to the next song now.
Here we go.
We could just play that one again and again through the
yeah.
hour. Let's go to number 7 on your list, Rolling Mental Dice here.
Sure.
May I Have This Dance by Francis and the Lights featuring Chance the Rapper.
In the ground we bury the seeds of a pantry, all the things we carry, now we're down to our bare feet.
Okay, so the first thing I did on listening to this one was search the band, Francis and the Lights,
yes.
and make sure it wasn't like a front act for Peter Gabriel.
Oh, seriously, Peter Gabriel vibes. I remember I saw him for the first time, and I was like, "Is this Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins like on the stage?" I mean, seriously, this was a bit of an interesting one because the song "May I Have This Dance" was released on his previous album, "Farewell Starlight," that came out last year. Francis and the Lights, he worked on this album at April Base here in Wisconsin.
Oh.
He stayed in Bon Iver's. He was like, Bon Iver described it as like, he basically, Francis and the Lights was like living in his basement for
okay.
a while as he made this album. And then he released Farewell Starlight and came out. And then this song came out, got the assist from Chance the Rapper from Chicago, and it just came out as a single. This was not on an album, and it just kind of like took over, and it's an amazing song.
We're talking about some of the best music of 2017. Justin Barney is with us from Radio Milwaukee. Oh, where to go next? How about, tell us a little bit about here's a fresh-faced new kid. I want you to tell us about him. This Randy Newman fella has one of the best songs of...
Randy Newman surprisingly slid into my top 10 list. I was not expecting it. Randy Newman came out with his album Dark Matter, something like his 20-somethingth studio album. And I've always had a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for Randy Newman. He's clever lyrically, and he just like writes things that are very listenable. And on this song, what I really love about Randy Newman is that he kind of like writes a lot for Disney, writes a lot of these like kind of like happy sounding songs,
right. Pixar movies, right? He's been
yep.
in
yeah. yep. And his studio albums kind of have this like dark, cynical edge to it, and I've always loved this dark, side of Randy Newman compared and this light side that he arranges with. And on this song, you don't get as much of that cynical side. You just get this really heartfelt song that's called She Chose Me. That it's really, really romantic, all about this person that he is with, and he is perplexed that she would love him.
Here's She Chose Me by Randy Newman.
Not much to talk to, and I know how I look. What I know about life comes out of a book. But of all of the people there are in the world, she chose me.
Yeah, so that's pretty sweet.
It's very.
And that's
sweet.
Not that cynical side of Randy Newman.
No.
You were talking about. Oh, that's a nice one. And so you're thinking all these fresh new bands coming out with stuff, but a lot of people are still coming out with great stuff from the old days too.
Exactly. I feel like music critics have a tendency to just want the new and something that's flashy, but also you gotta keep up with the Randy Newmans of the world who have released over 20 albums and are still at it strong.
Let's go to your number four for the year. We're going to get to some Wisconsin stuff in just a bit, by the way. Mm-hmm. Let's give a listen to LCD Sound System and American Dream is the song. Nope. Okay, we're searching that one up. But tell us a little about LCD Sound System and American Dream.
LCD Sound System released this album called American Dream this year, and I was a little worried about it. They had broken up in 2012, made a big deal about breaking up. They played this song, this farewell show, The Long Goodbye, in Madison Square Garden, and they made this big deal about breaking up, and then they're like, you know what, we're gonna come back with new music. And I was like, all right, LCD Sound System. But then they came back and the music was just as good, if not better than ever.
We'll go out to our break with LCD Sound System, talking to Justin Barney from Radio Milwaukee, sharing his top songs of 2017. You can find a playlist at WPR.org/Central Time and a Spotify playlist there. And you can call in with your favorites at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
Psychopath, Democrat lurking in the dark. This sucks, I'm the Kmart soda jerk, served to trash. I kept the stash of coca candy.
Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Justin Barney from Radio Milwaukee about the best songs of 2017. You can join in with your favorites at 800-642-1234. And Justin, that's Something for Your Mind, number five on your list, by Super Organism. Tell us about that.
Something for Your Mind and the band Super Organism kind of came out of nowhere. That was like literally the first song that they ever released. They've got like four songs in the world right now. They didn't release an album in 2017. They didn't release an EP, but they released that song and I absolutely fell in love with it. They met on the internet. Orno was their lead singer. She is from... she's from Japan. She was going to high school in Maine in the U.S., and she got hooked up with this band from New Zealand that she saw at a show when she went home in Japan, and she, like, messaged them online, and they met up after the show, and they decided to start making music together. They sent files to each other from New Zealand to Maine, and they wrote the song together. They're going to release a full-length next year.
That's interesting. So international collaboration. That reminds me of a question I wanted to ask. How has... on the receiving end, how have things like Spotify and other and YouTube and other ways of streaming music changed the way we find our music?
It's for sure. It's changed the way that we find our music. I think that Spotify's weekly discovery playlists have really become the dominant way that people discover music, or a dominant way that people discover music. Also on YouTube, we were just talking about Super Organism, and she met the people that produced the song because she saw one of their videos on a YouTube suggests when she was like going through the song. So that's how they met as a band.
You can find a Spotify playlist, by the way, at WPR.org/Central Time with Justin's top 10 list on it. I want to visit Wisconsin. You sent us some favorites here.
Yes.
And this one, I told you this before we started. I actually, and this is, maybe I'm just a homer here, but your four Wisconsin tracks I liked better than your top 10 tracks, period.
Which, amen.
Yeah.
Right
go Wisconsin.
On. Yeah.
So
I
here's,
believe it.
Let's start with Abby Jean, and this is Cosmic Beings.
Cruising back to the way we were on the cusp of jaded and old. When the love ran thick and no one stepped, no wonder what to go, yeah. Through the time when you don't watch out.
It's a little more rocking, which is more my speed, but tell us about Abby Jean.
Abby Jean really had a year this year in Milwaukee music. We do an event called the Radio Milwaukee Music Awards. It's kind of like the Grammys for Milwaukee music, and she came away with multiple awards. She released this album called called Rebel Love that was just amazing. And all this music that is coming out of Milwaukee, I'm like, why isn't she the biggest artist in the world? You know, like the music that she is making, that so many people in Milwaukee are making, are on par or even, as you said, better than the top 10 albums of the year. I mean, it's really incredible the talent that we have in the state right now.
Is the world's eye not on Wisconsin right now for some reason?
I don't know. Sometimes I kind of feel that way, that we have all this talent and we play music from all corners of the U.S. and I want them to start playing our music too.
Well, let's play a little more. This is an artist who's appeared here on Central Time, Milo, another Milwaukee artist, I think, right?
Milwaukee, and now he is moving out to Maine.
Okay. Well, Maine's going to be the new scene, it sounds like. That's
Two
mentions of Maine for
right?
some reason. Here's a listen to Milo and Magician, parentheses, Suture.
Yes.
Left home in search of where the orchid grows. Found a lotus pond in Echo Park and got confused. Met an Aristotelian and got depressing about his awkward views. Why you so quick to divide? So hasty divides and cut in two. Knowing it's impolite to Terry, I went about my way. And I don't like scary, so I ain't been around the way. Picking spinach out my teeth from the flooring. Hold his notebook like an advanced new camera. The panorama.
Talk a little bit about Milo.
Milo recorded this whole album, Who Told You to Think. He did most of it in one take. He did all the vocal effects live because he wanted it to be like an experience, which is how his shows are. I mean, he sets up and he's knob twisting and he's doing all these effects and it's incredible. And he said that he wanted to capture that on an album, and he did it with this one. And Milo, I think, is really he is like a public intellectual who like makes music. His mind blows me away.
My jaw dropped when you said he did it in one take, but it shouldn't because he did it here, I think, in one take, as I recall. Don't hold me to that. It's been a while. We're looking at some of the best tracks, the best songs of 2017. We have Justin Barney with us from Radio Milwaukee, and we're spending some time in Wisconsin now. You can get his whole top 10 list on Spotify at WPR.org/Central Time. Can you tell us a little bit about Gold? I don't know if I'm saying it right.
G-O-O-L-L-D-D, Gold.
Yeah, tell us about the band before we listen to a track from them.
They are, Gold is an incredible band. They started because the lead singer wanted to have an excuse to wear all the outfits that she had, like, in public, like, on display. So she was like, I should start a band so that I could put on shows.
Bands have been started for worse reasons.
and she, like, makes a new outfit for every single show, and they're super fun to see live, and they're one of the bands that they played Turner Hall in Milwaukee last year and they sold it out, and they're one of the hometown bands that can sell out one of the bigger venues in Milwaukee, and they're incredible.
And how do they just say it, Gold?
Just Gold,
or like a soccer Gold?
That's how I like to say it.
Yeah,
that's my
it.
Preferred method.
All right, so this song is Way That I Feel by Gold.
One.
So fairly well rocking there.
Oh yeah, that one's more rocking. A lot of their stuff is poppy. It's super catchy. and you should listen to it. They're playing in Milwaukee for New Year's Eve.
Okay, yeah. So there's a couple of Milwaukee bands. Oh, let's talk about Webster X too. We'll get through all four you shared with us.
Webster X is on the point where he's about to. I feel like he's about to break out nationally. He has created. He has created a scene kind of like around him and this whole thing in Milwaukee. We're all super supportive of him, and we want him to break out of the scene. He's been making music for a couple of years with this kind of rotating cast of characters that they call New Age Narcissism. They're each individual artists in their own right, and they perform like on stage together, and it's like a variety show. And Webster X is kind of at the center of it. He released a solo album this year, and then he released this single called Everfeel that I think gives a real good feeling of who he is as an artist.
So Webster X and Everfeel.
Contrary to conscience, made me a monster. Doing the action, call me your Bronson. Rappers my kiss, call me your Foster. Hitting the blocks, getting responses. Rings on my pinky, pickles he thinking. Leading his people, slowly they're sinking. Slow it down and take a breath. We bang drums and bang out. Can he paint with smoke? Shout out of ocean.
And so we keep hearing here, and when we had again some of these musicians on the show, a really thriving rap scene in Milwaukee.
The rap scene in Milwaukee is absolutely outstanding right now. You've got here's Webster X kind of at the front. There's Ishtar, who is another young rapper who have both, like, they've created this scene around them. I mean, Webster X started this event called Free Space that is it's an all ages kind of meeting that they have once a month where they people of all ages come in and they collaborate with each other and they create with each other, and they've really like kind of created their own scene. Milwaukee hip hop right now is at its peak.
So what are you looking for? We're just have our last couple minutes here. What are you looking forward to in 2018 for releases or trends or whatever?
There, every year you get artists that you have been waiting for a long time that release albums. You get things that come out of nowhere. What I'm looking for in 2018, which is what I looked for in 2017 and before, are the things that come up and surprise you and you don't know that they're going to be great. You don't know. You're like not exactly anticipating anything, because sometimes you can be let down by an anticipation. So I am looking forward to finding more stuff that I have never heard of or never saw in my life before.
And then getting back to the 2017 music, we talked about the whole initial impact versus staying power. What do you see yourself listening to from this year, maybe this time next year? It's still in your playlist.
Oh, well, I would certainly say that my number one pick, Big Thief, that's going nowhere. And that is, I think that will stay there the whole time. Kendrick Lamar, there is, which we didn't mention here, which needs to be mentioned at some point. You did start the program with it. Whatever he is doing next, he has the platform to do literally anything, and I can't wait to see what that is. Chance the Rapper, just really like kind of like rap in general, I think is just super good right now, and I can't wait to see where that goes to.
I want to give a quick listen to one of the songs of 2017, Despacito by a cast of thousands. We had a handful of people. Here's a listen.
Despacito. Quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído. Para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito. Quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firmo las paredes de tu laberinto.
And so as pop songs of the year, and this was big. This was huge in the summer. You couldn't avoid it. You know, as pop song in the summer goes, this is a pretty good one.
Yeah, I would say that Despacito was a testament to just how undeniable a song can be. It is incredibly hard for a song to break through, especially a pop audience that is in a language that is not in English. And that one broke through because of how just undeniable it is.
Well, we'll leave it there this time around. Hope we can talk to you again, Justin. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Justin Barney, music director for Radio Milwaukee. He was with us to share his top songs of 2017. Head over to WPR.org/Central Time for a list. The pollsters at Marist College released their annual survey results this month for the most annoying word of the year. And the winner this year is the same as the winner for the last 8 years in a row. It's the winner or loser, whatever. 33% of respondents picked whatever as their most annoying word or phrase. That's actually down from previous years, but still enough to take first place. And apparently, according to the pollsters, the over 45 demographic is keeping that one at the top of the list. In second place, I think this was new on their list, fake news with 23%, followed by no offense, but at 20%. I guess the irritation is when you say no offense, but I'm about to say something offensive if I start a sentence that way. Rounding out the top five, you know, right? And I can't even. They round out the top five with 14%. And by the way, coming up Monday morning after 6 on the morning show, get more annoying words and phrases and share your least favorites. They'll talk about the annual Lake Superior State University Banished Words List. That's always a lot of fun. Stick around. There's more coming up on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.